on 1116 SEN. Hungry for Sport with Kevin Bartlett for Penfold Mazda, celebrating 50 years of the Penfold family.
9:07, good morning and welcome to the program. Mick Malthouse is right. His position as coach not being clarified by the Carlton hierarchy has affected the entire club. The non-decision on Mick's coaching career has flattened the playing group. They don't know what they're playing for or who they're playing for. The players have no spirit or enthusiasm. They are simply meandering in no direction, probably asking themselves, what are we doing here? Brisbane before yesterday was the basket case of the competition, with the Lions coming off a week of turmoil over player-coach altercation and the club's CEO telling us they're not competitive, plus a public apology from the coach. Yet the Lions defeat Carlton. Try telling the Blues fans they don't need an answer on their coach. I'm KB. That's my take.
Lewis a man to him, hand passes to Jones. One false step and it could cost Brisbane. Casbolt. Did he bury the ghost? No, he didn't. He missed to the left-hand side. It wasn't a bad kick. Graham goes looking for Jones. Running back with the flight of it. And he's taken the fingertip out. 9 points the difference. He must kick this goal.
Well, pressure's got him too.
That's a terrible kick.
Nothing beautiful about it, but the 4 points will go north. They will go to Queensland, the first win of the season for Brisbane, and they beat the Blues on a Sunday afternoon.
What's my history? What, just turn the toes up and go, you reckon? No. While there's a job to be done, I will do it as best I possibly can. We're bottom right out, so this will be a great test of the football club, match committee, and in particular, I suppose, the playgroup.
9429 1116 is our famous talkback number, 0433981116. A crazy weekend of football. If you want to tweet at Kevin Bartlett 29, or you can also tweet at Hungry for Sport. Your ticks and crosses from a huge weekend in sport, and the advice line for your club, 9429 1116. Patrick Smith is about to join us, taking your calls on all things sport. So it's always your agenda to fire up, and his famous goose and goose as well. You may have some early nominations. Mark Allen with all the latest from the world of golf. Jeff Harris, of course, Formula One. Nick Bowen joins us from AFL.com with all the injury reports and also match panel review decisions as well. So that's come the MRP. Brett Phillips will join us with the world of tennis, and then we'll finish off today with a weekend siren with Terry Wallace and Martin Blake. But coming up, Patrick Smith.
Bottom line is they've got to improve his kicking if they're going to realise his talent. Football in Queensland really on the nose. Brisbane are struggling and we're discussing Gold Coast problems now. They need another injection of hype. Some advice. Give it up. It's boring. You've been banging away on it for 5 years. It's bordering on bullying. You've broken this story wide open, Kevin.
On Hungry for Sport, Patrick Smith.
Patrick, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. It's a deep-seated hate you have, isn't it, over all those playing years for Carlton? What did they ever do to you?
You
have run this campaign against this poor club.
No, I haven't. No. I was watching Carlton on the weekend. Richmond, not much better. I'll take some calls on Richmond too, because I'll play a bit of audio later that Damien Hardwick said, and I'll ask a question coming off that press conference as well. But just watching Carlton yesterday, Mick said before the start of the season that his position, unknown to the players and to those around the club and also the coaching staff, would have a big effect on the club. Now, a lot of people just laughed and chuckled at Mick and saying, oh, come on, Mick, you just want Carlton to sign you up. But the fact is, it's had this effect that Mick told us it would.
Yes.
Because yesterday, Pat, no enthusiasm, no spirit at Carlton. Those players are just going about their business, just meandering around. There seems to be no direction. They don't know who's going to be the coach, what's happening next year. They're picking up the papers and they're reading, you know, people are suggesting, you know, offload Gibbs, offload Murphy, get rid of Cruiser, also, you know, do a deal for Yaron. Now, there's no one who can speak up. Now, if Mick Malthouse knew he was coaching next year, he could say, you know what, Gibbs is staying, you know, yeah. Murphy's staying. He can put to bed all those negatives, but he can't do anything. His hands are tied.
No, you're absolutely right. Looking at that game, you're looking at players who, what are we doing here? Why are we playing for this club? They're just all at a loose end about what the direction of the club is. They've got a very good coach. They can't commit to him because the club won't commit to him. And I think it's a malaise, Kevin, that I reckon's gone right through the club. I don't know that the board's got the answers. We're always told it's a split board. Something is awfully wrong with that club. And when Mick has said it's bottomed out, he said nothing truer than that in his life.
Well, I just feel, and I'd like to hear from Carlton fans this morning about that, because I think Mick hit the nail on the head when he said that before the start of the season, that it will have an effect. And particularly, you know, by struggling to, you know, really play at their best, players start to lose confidence, and then you're looking around and you're saying, well, what direction are we going in?
That's right.
The other thing is, let's face it, there's nothing that can happen in the remainder of this season that we would learn anything more about Mick Malthouse that we've never learned over the last 45 years.
Yeah. What do we know about Mick Malthouse? One of the great coaches of all time. That's what we know about him. And he's at that club, and they won't commit to him. So that's telling you something, isn't it, Kevin?
Well, I think Mick needs an answer. I think the players need an answer. And Carlton's got to be honest with their members.
Yeah.
Because the members, would have come away so disappointed. Look, well done to Brisbane. It was fantastic for Brisbane to see Brisbane get up and win the game. That is another story.
Compare the two clubs, Kevin, the way Brisbane were winless, had that story break on them. They handled that quickly with dignity and were very proactive. And then they got their player and their coach to make apologies. But no one ever doubted Lepage. No one ever doubted any of the players in the sense that, we'll have to get rid of them. They were near rock bottom, Kevin, but they are still a unit, and they're all trying to go in the one direction. And I think that if you compare both clubs in that week, you saw Brisbane at least well managed and confident enough to put its coach up, its player up, tell the public what happened, and then keep on playing footy, and they've played the best footy of the year. Compare that to Carlton. They just, Kevin, they don't say anything other than, no, we've said we will reappoint towards the end of the season. You're quite right. Who's out there banging the table and saying, do you think we'd honestly get rid of Mark Murphy?
That's right.
Do you think we would get rid of Gibbs? You're crazy. They're important players. They're going to push us forward. They're going to take us to a new era. There's none of that.
None whatsoever. This is Brisbane. They lost the opening round to Collingwood by 12 points. So I think they were way, way down at three-quarter time and rallied. I think they might have kicked, maybe four or five goals or so in the last quarter to get back to 12 points. So that was a fair effort by Brisbane. Then they lost by 82 points to North Melbourne, 79 points to Richmond, 53 points to West Coast, 64 points to the Gold Coast. Then they come out and they beat Carlton.
But that form prompted Greg Swan, their CEO...
Not just competitive.
We're not competitive.
Also, I want to play a bit of audio. This is Damien Hardwick on the weekend.
We just got to take stock. We've got to look at the tape. We've got to find out guys that playing at our VFL level, which had a good win today, that are capable of taking us forward. Because at the moment, the inconsistency of performance of some of our players is not good enough. And we've got to find players that are prepared to put their hand up and play the Richmond way.
Now, prepared to play the Richmond way. What is the Richmond way?
Good question.
I want to put that out to our listeners, 942-9116. Damien said, we want players to play the Richmond way. What is the Richmond way? Because I haven't heard anyone actually explain what the Richmond way is. And I watched Richmond on the weekend against North Melbourne. It was a very, very dull affair in the first half. North Melbourne had a cracking third quarter and blew the game apart. But what is the Richmond way?
He means fiercely, doesn't he?
Well, I don't know. What is the Richmond way? Got to play the Richmond way.
Yeah. I wouldn't interpret that as just with great fierceness.
Wouldn't that be the way of every club then, if that's the case?
Well, you would hope so. But presumably he's seeing that missing in the Tigers. And he said, I'll go and search for it in the VFL side. Mm. At least,
is the Richmond way, a fast-moving game? Is it a possession game? Is it a long-kicking game? Is it a skillful game? Is it a short-kicking game? What is the Richmond way?
Well, a lot of people would say Richmond doesn't know what it is.
Well, no. Well, the coach does.
The coach does, but I don't think it...
But we probably need it to be explained.
There seem to be two examples of it. There's a fast-breaking game when they're very good, and there's a possession game that brings them undone. Mm. So...
Well, anyway, I put it out there for the Richmond fans to tell us what is the Richmond way or what do they hope to see Richmond way.
Given that you played 7,000 games for them, we thought you might have an idea what the Richmond way is.
No, I haven't, because just watching again the Tigers on the weekend, they were just as disappointing as Carlton were on the weekend, two great traditional clubs. But Richmond kicked very, very short. And worse than that, they kick very, very short and don't hit targets.
Mm.
Plus, they don't move the ball quickly enough. And they're a sideways side. And I've said this many, many times. You know, they're not an attacking side.
So you don't know what the Richmond way is.
I don't know at the moment.
But you know what it isn't.
I know what it isn't at the moment. I know it's easy to pick out the mistakes. And that is they kick very, very short. Very, very short. Don't hit targets. Put players under a lot of pressure. Therefore, a lot of possessions get accumulated, getting yourself out of that trouble, going sideways without going forward with any great purpose. You don't get the ball quickly enough down into the forward line. Doesn't matter what era you're playing in, Patrick.
Yep.
You get the ball quickly into your forward line, you've always got a very, very good chance of winning.
Well, you've just identified the Richmond way.
No, but that's not the Richmond way at the moment.
Okay.
We'll take a break, we'll come back and we'll take your calls. It's been a crazy weekend. Have your say.
On 11.16 SEN, Hungry for Sport with Kevin Bartlett for Penfold Mazda. Celebrating 50 years of the Penfold family.
Rewalt, tumbling it. Oh, Wood slipped at the crucial stage. Billings is at the back. Billings is 45 out. He steadies low, keeps it low and kicks the goal.
We are just so pleased that so many of our players responded in such a positive way.
Up back inside 450. Here we go. Whitfield across. Devon Smith. Right boot. You better believe it. They are inspired. The GWS Giants.
It's just good to see that not only is our footy team starting to progress, the supporters and the club in general is starting to progress as well.
The first win of the season for Brisbane. And they beat the Blues on a Sunday afternoon.
It's the ability to play roles, Greg. And I thought we were diligent today and more consistent in what our output was.
Matty White, he's 50 out. There it is! What a victory for the West Coast Eagles. They came, they set their plan in place, and they delivered.
Well, it's the best win that I've been a part of since I've been at the club.
Well, there were some big upsets on the weekend. Well done to the Giants and Brisbane, St Kilda and West Coast. And you're back for those clubs. So you may like to give us a buzz and talk about what was a crazy weekend in sport.
Well, what was the best win of the round, Kevin?
Well, the best win of the round. Well, OK, we'll take nominations on that as well.
They're all fantastic.
Let's hit the lines. Henry joins us from Windenvale. G'day, Henry.
G'day, guys. Look, I can't agree with you two about Carlton. These guys are professionals, the footballers. Hundreds of thousands of dollars they get paid a year to go out and play. Who does it matter who coaches them next year or who's coaching them this year? They've got a commitment to make to themselves as footballers because this is their job. They're out there to play for themselves, the supporters, the coaches, the club. Now, if they're not good enough to do it, then they should be stood up and they should be eyeballed as to say, are you or are you not going to go out there and earn these wonderful wages that you're on and for your club? Because whether Malthouse is there or next year, some of these guys are playing for their future. Some of them have had 2 and 3 chances elsewhere. And if they're not going to play, goodbye. See you later.
Henry.
And Silvani should go to the draft and recruit as many kids as he can and they should start all over again. But it's their responsibility. They get paid to do a job and they're not doing it.
No. It's a responsibility of a board to run a club successfully. It's a responsibility of a match committee to make the right appointments. It's a responsibility of a coach to get the players right, and it is the responsibility of the players. But Henry, if you think a football field is the only workplace where people's work ethic or enthusiasm slips because of the environment you're working in, you're utterly mad. There's so many examples of a bad culture in a company where the people in that company can't work at their best because of the atmosphere and the environment. So that's what's happened. Like any company or anything else, this is a company, Carlton, that's lost its mojo and the players are playing for themselves. It's like any other company that drops its bundle. So just to say, sit there and say the players have got to go out and do that. That's possible in the right environment. It's not possible if the environment is poor, Henry.
Appreciate your call, Henry. You can agree or disagree. Johnny's from Croydon. G'day, John.
Just wanted to say three things. Number one, I just sent a cheerio to Jeff, my son-in-law. He'd be rapt that Brisbane beat Carlton.
Carlton, yes.
And number two, Vickery, look, he's not the be-all and end-all at Richmond, but I don't think they give him enough chance. I mean, he come back, didn't set the world on fire like a lot of Richmond players. And, I mean, you can't expect him to, you know, really play well after he's been out for that many matches. And number three, what a hide Soccer's got, trying to kick Footscray. And I don't barrack for Footscray, or Western Bulldogs, sorry, off their ground, you know.
Well, I think...
That's a rival code. Good.
Yeah, no, I think Peter Gordon agrees with you completely. He was very disdainful, Kevin, when you interviewed him about...
Moving down maybe to Simmons Stadium.
He wanted to know who was the A-League.
He didn't even know Victory was actually playing in the final.
No, I don't think he has much... He's got a club that's coming good and he wants them to have every advantage.
Fantastic final coming up in the A-League too with Victory taking on Sydney FC and on the weekend. Victory 3-0, of course, win, and then 4-1 to Sydney as well. That game's going to be played at Amy Park. As we know...
Only 4 p.m. Sunday.
Holds maybe maximum maybe of 30,000
to the rafters.
And we did see on the weekend there was about 1,000 fans difference between Collingwood Geelong and also the A-League final as well. So
yeah, so many
a lot of people are going to miss out on that grand final.
A lot of people, Kevin, were very confident that the AFL match would way outdraw what the soccer did.
No, about 1,000, about 1,000 maybe, 1,200 or so. Yep. Different happened, people. Pete's in Preston. Good day, Pete. Wants to talk about the Carlton board.
Good morning, Kevin. Good morning,
Patrick.
Have a stab.
Patrick Smith. Mark Laguna's a boy. He's got to come out and he's got to rip into these guys, mate. He's got to. They know Malthouse can coach. That's why they went and got him and they torched Ratton, mate. It's not a question of whether he can coach, but it's time. Don't let the tail wag the dog again. Don't fry another iconic coach. Put the players up against the wall. And name them and shame them and get them to put in. And at the end of the year, get rid of them. Is this a joke?
I think for starters, Pete, what they probably would like to know is what direction the club is going in. And the biggest direction they'd want to know is who's going to coach them next year, because all the talk has been from the start of the season, the future of Mick, and whether or not, you know, he'll be the person in charge next year. Now, the way they're playing at the moment, to me, they're certainly not playing as a group. They're not playing as a united bunch of players. They're playing like people who are just thinking about themselves, not certain what their future is or what the future of Carlton is.
They're trying to get a kick, Kevin.
So, you know, it's hard to win games unless you've got everyone who's just so enthusiastic for the job at hand.
Well, Pete, Mark Laguna, say about 3 weeks ago, came out with a set piece. It was an intro with Mark. It was an interview with Mark Robinson, I think, from memory.
Yep.
And he sat down and... He went through the issues with Malthouse and the issues with the club. That backfired hopelessly on them. It didn't give anybody any zest, any enthusiasm. It was just this somber, we're not going to appoint Mick, we know where we're going. No enthusiasm, and I think it's just reflected through the club.
Yes, there was respect, but there was no love for the coach.
Oh, no.
Melissa...
No, but more than that, Kevin, there was no... enthusiasm in or drive in what he was going to do with the club. Not like when Peter Gordon gets on. He tells you where the club's going. It drives Greg Denham mad, but at least he's out there saying, this is the club and I'm going to take it here and we're going to do this and that coach is this. And you want to get along on it.
Melissa joins us from Melton. Might have the answer, the Richmond way of playing. G'day, Melissa.
G'day, Kev. How you going?
Good, thank you.
I don't think I have the answer. I'd like to know Damien Hardwick's answer, because I think the Richmond way at the moment is actually pretty disgusting. Being a member for my 25 years of life at the minute, it's disgraceful. We made finals last year by the skin of our teeth, and the way we're playing this year is disgusting. And the fact that Carlton's playing so bad as well is just bad for the game. Richmond and Carlton are part of the Big Four. If they're playing badly, the game's going to do badly.
Well, the game's certainly better off when they're thriving. Yes, that's right.
I tell you what, at the moment, after watching the weekend and just maybe looking to the future with St Kilda's good performance against Essendon last week and then coming from 10 goals down, that takes a lot of spirit. I'm still happy with the Bulldogs, you know, for them to be 10 goals up. They've lost a few players over the last couple of weeks as well, but just the way that they're playing and the enthusiasm of the club, you think that future is really, really good. The Giants looked to have a fantastic future after knocking off Hawthorn. And, you know, there's a West Coast, who many of us thought You know, they're really struggling. West
Coast. We thought they were too injured, didn't we?
Well, they lost Glass, who retired. They lost Bo Waters, who retired.
McKenzie.
They lost McKenzie, their best player. They
Mitch Brown. Mitch, he went down.
And lost Jack Darling, who hasn't even played a game this year. I mean, it was all doom and gloom for West Coast, and they're sitting at the moment second on the ladder.
And they're playing with a centre-half forward with a...
broken elbow.
Broken elbow.
Broken elbow. So if you're back for those clubs, you're thinking, well, I tell you what, their future looks a lot brighter than Richmond and Carlton's at the moment.
Of course.
We'll take a break. We're coming back. Your ticks and crosses from the weekend and your advice line for your club.
On 11:16 SEN, Hungry for Sport with Kevin Bartlett for Aldi Penfold Burwood, celebrating 50 years of the Penfold family.
We're one football program and we find the best results or the best processes we possibly can for all of our individuals so that we can go and be better. And if that's Clokey having 400 shots on goal, then we'll do it. To do handstands before he has a shot on goal, we'll do that. Can I rest the Collingwood people's minds assured? We're doing everything we possibly can for Clokey, for Jesse, for all our set shot staff. And in the end, we're not infallible. He will miss goals. He's not going to kick every goal. He's not going to be 100%. So he's just got to let those go and then get to the next one.
And I think Nathan went on to say, if you send any letters in explaining how he should go about goal kicking, they'll go straight into the bin.
Oh, that's disappointing because I've sent a couple of little ideas of my own along, Kevin.
Well, Trish from East Melbourne wants to talk about Travis Cloke and his goal kicking. G'day, Trish.
Hello, Kevin. Hello, Patrick.
G'day, Trish.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, I have some advice for my club, Collingwood. I think that Travis doesn't need a psychiatrist, psychologist, kicking coach or even Eddie to help him. He just needs his glove.
Needs his glove?
He used to have a glove.
Well, he still wears a glove. I saw him on the weekend wearing a glove, Trish.
Oh, I haven't seen him much.
Well, he certainly he took a mark on the weekend out, and he certainly had a glove. I'm trying to think, was it on his right hand? I don't think it was on his kicking hand. I think it was on the other hand.
It might have been his lucky glove.
Oh, his lucky glove.
Is he like a little child who needs something?
I think he needs a security-type glove.
Security blanket. Yes, we'll have to make sure he gets the glove back on.
Well, I'll ask Collingwood fans. Maybe I'm going mad, but I'm pretty certain I saw him on
the
weekend.
Well, you're going mad. Don't worry about that.
But I'm pretty certain I watched him on the weekend.
And the
I actually thought
not
myself,
whether you know the glove was on. You are going mad.
Well, I thought to myself, Travis is still wearing that glove, maybe just to help his marking. But I'm certain he had a glove on the weekend, Trish. Rhonda is in Perth. G'day, Rhonda.
Morning, guys. I just wanted to talk about Adam Simpson really quickly.
Yes.
Yeah, and give him a bit of a tick. And, as you mentioned before, actually, you summed it really well, Kev, about the injury that the Eagles have had.
Lots of injuries.
He's done very well.
Loads and loads of people often forget about Bo Waters because he was actually still on our list until February, so we didn't recruit anyone to replace him. So, I just want to give him a big tick about how he's got the team up and going and playing the young guys. And the recruiters have actually picked some young guys that seem to have a lot of talent and heart. And I think some of our other midfield guys have lifted as well.
I reckon they deserve every bit of praise you've got for them. Second on the ladder. Fantastic.
That young boy, Jeremy McGovern's a very good player as well.
What a good mark.
But to lose, you know, maybe they're arguably their best forward and their best defender before the start of the season. I agree with Rhonda. And Adam Simpson, I tell you what, he'd be good in a poker game, wouldn't he?
Did you see his little smile at the when they kicked the... I know a bloke like that, but... there was some emotion, surely.
He's an ice man, isn't he?
Ice man. Well, he's doing a good job.
He is an ice man.
Yep.
Rhonda, thanks for that. Lynn joins us in Dramana. G'day, Lynn.
G'day, Kevin. Good morning, Patrick.
Hi, Lynn.
I just got a huge tick for the Brisbane Lions. You better watch out now. We're on a roll.
On a roll.
Fantastic.
Well, a couple of their players actually showed a little bit against Carlton. Now, whether or not that was because it was against Carlton and... You know, they're struggling badly, but, you know, McStay jumped up and took some marks.
He did. Nice mark.
Christensen showed a little bit,
there's a
you
kid,
know, after coming from Geelong.
A kid in defence who took a nice mark.
And Stephen Martin continues.
Yeah, he's playing
really well. Very, very well in the ruck. I thought Christensen was really good.
Yeah.
I know there's been criticism since he's come across from Geelong. He may have had an interrupted pre-season as well. But I thought McStay jumping up, taking some marks, booting four goals. That was some strong marks too by McStay.
Yes, they were.
And good to see Tommy Rockliffe back out there after being bashed around a fair bit this year. And I even thought even Mitch Robinson against his old side battled pretty hard last night as well. Cheryl's in Werribee. G'day, Cheryl.
Hi, Kevin. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Can I just ask you one question?
Yes.
Why do you get stuck into us, as in Carlton, all the time? And what about Richmond?
Question.
What, how's Richmond gone this year, Kevin?
Not going very well at the moment,
Answer
Cheryl.
That question, Kevin.
Well, I mentioned that, Cheryl. We're not going very well at the moment, and I've asked the Richmond fans, Cheryl, to tell us what is the Richmond way of playing football, because Damien said on the weekend that, you know, we've got to get back to playing the Richmond way, so we've got to try and work out what is the Richmond way. So we're not going much better. In fact, I don't think we're going any better, Cheryl, than Carlton at the moment.
You actually picked him apart there, Cheryl. He's diverting all the attention to Carlton and away from Richmond.
Well, their game was last night. They got beaten by the side that was on the bottom of the ladder. Cheryl, would you like to know what's happening next year with the coaching situation down at Carlton?
Yeah, well, but I just want to ask you one more question,
yes,
Kevin.
Yes.
What about all the other teams that lost? What about the fantastic Bulldogs who are 8 goals up? What about Hawthorn? What about Collingwood? Why is it only us? Yeah, we are in trouble. But why is it... You've got a good side, Richmond.
No, we haven't.
We haven't.
No, I don't think we have got a good side at the moment.
It's a deep-seated hatred over years of play.
We're not playing very well at Tigerland at the moment, Cheryl. Not playing very well.
You hate
Cheryl,
Carlton.
No, the reason why we even speak about Carlton today is because...
You said they're really stuffed. Let's talk about them for an hour.
I did not. It's because Carlton themselves have created a situation where I think most... Look, here's some of the SMSs saying on the weekend. Murphy had one disposal in the last quarter. And Bryce Gibbs had two. There's Carlton's biggest problem right there, says Tim. Well, we know that Murphy is a very, very good player.
There's
and
a bigger question, isn't
it? Bryce Gibbs is a very, very good player. They've both won best and fairest as a Carlton over the last couple of years. So if Murphy's getting one disposal and Gibbs getting two possessions in the last quarter of a game against the lowest side in the competition, is there something else that's troubling them? Is there something that's... Somehow their mind's not completely on the game. Why are they not completely and utterly switched on if that is the case? And I suppose that's the question we're asking today. And maybe it comes back to what Mick Malthouse said at the start of the season. You know, if you leave this question unanswered, it's going to affect the players, it's going to affect the coaching staff, and obviously it's going to affect Mick as well.
Yep.
Nick is in Reservoir. G'day, Nick.
Hey, Kev. Patrick, how are you going?
You know Richmond's style of play?
Yes, I do know Richmond style of play. Watched the first 2 minutes of the last quarter, Kev, where we kicked long to a one-on-one contest. I don't think Riewoldt knew himself when he only had the one defender back there, and we scored the first two goals. But then I think Hardwick said, "Nah, this is working, so we'll change it around."
That's a bit tough.
Well, if you get the ball quickly into the forward line, you've got people like Jack Riewoldt there, who's very good one-on-one. He's very, very hard beat. Not too many players can actually beat him one-on-one. Then it gives you a chance. And I've always said, doesn't matter what era you play in, the faster you can actually move that ball and get it into a scoring zone, the more dangerous you're going to be. And it does put defenders, you know, on the back foot.
Sure.
That's an old age theory in football. Doesn't matter what tactics you want to use, if you can get the ball quickly inside 50, you've got a good chance of scoring.
And if
you get it in there quickly, because the general feeling is that, you know, you give a backman and a forward an opportunity against each other, the forward's only got to win it four times, 40% of the times, and if they kick four goals, you're on your way.
Yep.
We'll take a break. 9429116. Don't forget Mark Allen will join us. Jeff Harris, Nick Bowen, Brett Phillips. Weekend Siren with Terry Wallace and Martin Blake. Coming back with Patrick Smith and his famous Goose and Goose as well. And your call.
On 1116 SEN. Hungry for sport with Kevin Bartlett for Audi Penfold Burwood. Celebrating 50 years of the Penfold family.
It's now time for Patrick Smith's Goose.
So I'm happy now at this moment.
And Goose of the Week. On 1116 SEN.
You can always agree or disagree with Patrick's nominations for his famous award of Goose and Goose of the Week. Pat, nominations on Twitter?
Oh, well, yes. Thanks, everybody, on Twitter for a great response yet again. I'm very grateful for that. Kevin, I just got to pull Trout up here.
Trout?
He's nominated his heart as Goose of the Week. For the stress it's had to endure. I don't think we can take
it. We
that,
haven't
can
heard
we?
From Trout today, have we?
No, he's very silent. So I've got to dismiss that. How did... Jason Richardson go with his value?
Very good. He had two good winners, $10 and $8, and his Steamboat Special. So he's on his way back.
Well, I dropped in. I was at, dropped in on the races on Saturday, and I saw him there. I said, "You're doing a great job for the up with the Victorian Racing, and while they're trying to get this TV rights deal done." His head was just getting visibly bigger, and I said, "Well, you know, I'm thinking of making you Goose of the Week." Well, Kevin, his head was so big at the end of it.
It was wobbling?
Wobbling. And then I'm in the mounting yard, and he's knocked me down, Kevin. I swear it, he's knocked me down like that because he saw some trainer the sycophant had to talk to.
Value!
So he's out, Kevin.
He's out.
I was going to put him in, but he's out.
He's out?
No, look, the Goose is, I reckon, Blake Shinn. Five winners, including two Group 1s on the card. I think that's a brilliant individual performance. And the Goose, Kevin, it just has to go to Carlton. The whole Carlton entity, top to bottom, Carlton is Goose of the Week.
Okay, Goose of the Week. Agree or disagree? That's a big call that the whole Carlton entity is the Goose or the Geese of the Week.
Because they don't know what they're doing, Kevin.
Okay.
You don't know what they're doing.
No, I don't know. No, well,
the supporters don't.
No, the supporters don't.
And the members don't. And I reckon the sponsors would be saying, what the hell is happening?
James joins us in Craigieburn. He might have the answer to Carlton. G'day, James.
G'day, boys.
G'day.
The morale of Carlton, boys. It went out the door as soon as Dale Thomas came in the door. Just hear me out. You're at work. You're on 400, 500,000 a year. Not even. Dale Thomas walks in the door. Coach's best mate, 700,000, and we lose Eddie Betts. How are you going to feel?
Well, that's interesting thought. I mean, Eddie was a much loved character, I would think, down at Carlton. They maintained they couldn't hold him. There was other reasons why he wanted to go to Adelaide, so they had to get someone else in, and they obviously got in Daisy Thomas, who's had some injury upsets before he got to Carlton. He's had a few problems since he's been there. Eddie Betts continues to played some great football, kicked another five goals on the weekend. That doesn't make the situation any easier down at Carlton?
No. No. Look, it's possible to link the two. But I've got strong memory that Betts was going anyway, Kevin, that he wanted
Well, Carlton maintained that.
Yeah, yeah.
David is in Cranbourne. G'day, David.
Morning, Jinto. How are we?
Good, Dave.
That's good. Two quick points. First, the fact that Malthouse walked into, at the start of the year, started talking about his future is already showing the team that he's only thinking about himself. That doesn't help. And if the players are worried about the coach playing on next year, isn't it their job to worry about themselves playing on next year? If they play as bad as they are, they're hurting themselves, not the coach. You'd think they'd worry about themselves playing next year, not the coach.
Well, maybe that's one of the problems.
That is the problem. They're
just playing for themselves and you know, trying to pick up a few kicks or handballs or possessions or maybe take a mark or kick a goal. And it's not so much about the team or Carlton. It's just whether or not I can shore up my future.
Yeah.
That happens, I think, David, when people are not quite certain what direction they're going in. And also, you know, there's a lot of players being talked about being drafted and moved on. And, you know, Stephen Silvani will have to make all these big decisions. So there'd be a lot of players there, whether they're contracted or not contracted, leading into next year, just scratching their head thinking, I don't know what my future is at this club because no one can speak up for me. Certainly, Mick can't come out and say, I guarantee to the Carlton fans, Mark Murphy will be here next year, so will Bryce Gibson. Cruiser will never, ever be traded. And Yaron, well, that's a joke to think he's got to be elsewhere. Well, he can't say that.
Kevin, just think you're a Carlton footballer there at the start of the year. Your medium ability, you're enjoying your footy. They say, well, we can't tell you anything about the coaching. We don't know who'll coach you next year. But we've brought in Steve Silvani, and he's fantastic with list management. Uh-oh. I reckon the players can see sort of this pincer movement that is going to really shake up the list. And I think that is also affecting their play.
Sean joins us from Craigieburn, wants to talk about the Mighty Eagles. G'day, Sean.
How you going, boys? All right?
We're going great, Sean.
Mate, I just want to pump up the Eagles and all the young fellas, especially, you know, Chris Maston and Jared Wellingham. I actually think it's Wellingham's best game that he's played for the Eagles since he's been there.
I agree.
And I think Simpson's done a great job by putting him in the back half of the ground. He's actually shown a little bit more. So congratulations to the Eagles, I reckon.
Mike, no, found his spot there.
Yes, he may have. Yeah. And also Maston, who was a very high draft pick. He might have been number three or something like that. And for a long time, a lot of people thought, you know, he wasn't going to reach any great heights. But he's played some good football this year, Maston. In fact, over the last couple of years, he's gradually got better and he's picked up a lot of the ball. But he's playing very well. And I agree with you there, Sean. I thought on the weekend Wellingham showed something, because at one stage there, it looked like he was going to be a really, really good player for Collingwood. And he has been very disappointing since he's been across at the Eagles.
Yeah, they may have found a little slot for him, Kevin, where he can work at his best.
Sent through off the SMS machine, Pat, as we go to the break. Josh Kennedy, 23 goals for the year so far. Eddie Betts, 20 goals for the year. Jared Wade has booted 11 goals for the year. Mm-hmm. And Jeff Garlett has booted 12 goals for the year, and that's a total of 66 goals. Carlton's goals for the year, total, 66.
Yes. Oh, they love that. Carlton supporters love doing that, tally.
They love doing that. We'll take a break. We'll come back with your calls, 94291116, along with Patrick Smith.
On 1116 SEN, Hungry for Sport with Kevin Bartlett for Penfold Mazda, celebrating 50 years of the Penfold family.
Now the overlapping run in the middle, Berisha! The big man for the big occasion puts the Melbourne victory in front inside 20 minutes. Sinclair eventually gets it out to him. Delivery not bad. The volley! Oh, Barbaricious! Something special in a derby again from the Kiwi. And it's 2-0 to the victory. Can he pick someone out? He can. Can you believe it? There's a tap in for Archie Thompson, who seals the passage through to the grand final.
It just had to be.
Yes, there's Melbourne victory, of course. Goals to Berisha, Barbaricious, and also Archie Thompson over Melbourne City, and Sydney 4-1 over Adelaide as well. And that final is at Amy Park. Of course, it's the A-League Player of the Year tonight as well, Patrick. So Zappas is going to join us tomorrow with all that news, and of course, and looking forward to what should be a fabulous grand final between the two biggest clubs, Melbourne Victory and also Sydney.
Yeah, it'll be a great occasion. Ricky Fowler's just won the Players, Kevin, in a playoff.
Okay, that, well, Marco will join us shortly and tell us about that.
That will make him happy, Kevin, because Sports Illustrated rated him as the most overrated golfer on the tour.
Sports Illustrated?
Yeah.
Well, they're wrong. They're wrong.
Voted him and Ian Poulter the most overrated players.
Okay, well, I'll ask Marco who he thinks might be the most...
Well, he's not overrated now.
He's not overrated now.
No. No, that's a great effort by him. And the soccer will be tremendous, Kevin. Look, the victory will win, won't they?
Well, we hope so. We hope so. I mean, Sydney's
been
the
best team all year.
Yeah, Sydney's a very, very good side. But as we know, in grand finals, you get the two best sides and, you know, you're never quite certain which way it's going to go. But
we have Melbourne Ian Robson on, Kevin?
Well, Ian Robson will be on Wednesday, Pat.
Oh, I think he'll be confident, don't you?
I'm hoping that Ian also, because he was going to give us best art during the course of the year.
Oh, yeah, promised.
And promised. Best art would be
in the studio.
Remember,
I wrote it down. Promised.
And he never turned up.
No.
Never saw best art once. So I said to him, instead of best art coming, surely we can get two tickets to the grand final giveaway to all those fans who have been waiting.
Anything?
Waiting to see whether, you know, Bessart came on the program. So I'm hoping when he comes in on Wednesday, I know they're going to be like hen's teeth. I'm hoping he's got two tickets for the grand final to go to our best caller on Wednesday.
He'll come good, Kevin.
Well,
with the tickets.
We hope so.
Your interview's gone.
The pressure is on. Pat, thanks for that. We'll speak tomorrow.
Cheers, Kevin. Coming up.